Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The words for our consideration today are those words from the epistle reading from James chapter 5, where he writes, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruits of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job and have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." So far the text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would give us patience as we wait for the return of your Son. We pray that you would give us endurance and strengthen our faith through these words, for they are the truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, I bet you've had this experience where you pick up the phone and it immediately says, "Please don't hang up the phone." You know what you're in for already, don't you? It's a telemarketer. Maybe not even a real human being on the other end of the line. Maybe it's just a recording. I know years ago I used to try to be polite to the telemarketers. And then I got to the point where I would just say, "Yes, I'm listening," and I would put the phone down and walk away from it. I probably shouldn't have done that, but you just get to the point where you can't stand it anymore. I remember a woman who once said, "Sorry doesn't cut it anymore," because she'd grown tired of listening to her husband continuing to ask forgiveness from her for the same sin over and over again. Dealing with the habitual offender is one of the most difficult and frustrating things in life. Dealing with that person that just keeps doing the same sin to us over and over again, it's difficult to deal with. As parents, it's difficult to deal with our children when they do the same thing every day, though they know it's wrong. It's difficult to live with the same weakness in your pastor or in your spouse or in your congregation. And the more you have to live with it, the more difficult it becomes, the more it grates on your nerves. James, the brother of Jesus, who was the pastor of the congregation at Jerusalem, wrote to the early Jewish Christians. His congregation was already firmly established in faith, and so James gave them many guidelines on how they could live out their lives as Jewish Christians in the Jewish world. And one struggle that that congregation seemed to be having was with finances and with those around them who were extorting them. James told his congregation these strong words, "You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Now listen, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money.' Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow." James said that some of the rich had also lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence and fattened themselves for the day of slaughter and condemned and murdered innocent men who were not opposing them. It appears that that congregation and that was living in a difficult situation, and people were exploiting many of the poor Jewish Christians, and those poor Jewish Christians were growing tired of it. It was grating on them. And to them, James said, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm." We Christians need to be patient. The circumstances demand it. We need to be patient as the farmer is patient. The farmer plants, but he has no control over the weather, and waiting for the rain can be a big deal. They have to hold their breath and wait. There's no way I could do it. I couldn't imagine putting hundreds of thousands of dollars into a crop and then hoping it rains. It takes patience. The nature of the business demands that you plant and then leave the weather in the hands of God. James encouraged his fellow believers to be patient like the farmer. The farmer has no control over the rain, and so also cannot make the crop. Only God can give the increase. And so also these people in the congregation could not control how they were being treated by the rich and the greedy. They couldn't control how God would bless their efforts and their work. Only God could prosper and defend them. They had to be patient. If we could really grasp this concept of patience, I think we would have it a lot easier. We'd have a lot easier time of being patient. When we get angry with one another, when we try to control other people that we have no authority over, it's like trying to control the rain. When we get angry with God for allowing us to suffer or having some hardship, or because someone we love has died, we're trying to control the rain. We're wanting to change something that's not within our control. And whether you're a pastor or a spouse or a child or a parent, we all need to know our limitations. If we don't realize this, we'll end up being like those whom James said were grumbling against each other. That word for grumbling means to sigh or to groan because of an undesirable circumstance. Isn't that what we do every day? Oh, it's too hot out, or it's too cold out, or whatever. My parents are too demanding. Why doesn't God answer my prayers? Why doesn't He fix this world? Why do I have to deal with this? We get frustrated and we sigh and we groan when things don't turn out the way we planned. We're frustrated because we aren't God. And that's the original temptation, isn't it? That's what the devil threw before Adam and Eve at the beginning. You can be like him. You can be in control. But you can't. You can't completely control your health. You can't determine how much money you'll make. You can't make someone believe in Christ. You can't do a lot of things. You can't play God. We have to learn patience. Ironically, James is leading us to pray some words that I bet many of you have thought before. We kind of chuckle when we hear them, but it's this prayer: "Lord, give me patience right now." He's doing that. He's telling us these things. The Lord is telling us these things because Jesus' coming is near. But that wasn't the only reason why he wanted them to be patient. Farmers need to be patient when it comes to waiting for the rain, but once it comes, they also need to be patient until the harvest. Imagine a citrus grower who just can't wait for a little cold snap before he harvests his grapefruit. Because of his impatience, the fruit ends up being bitter and sour. You need to be patient because it takes time for the crop to grow. This is the second reason why James is telling his congregation to learn patience. The rain and the harvest will come at the Lord's good time. First of all, he says, "Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered." So who's he talking about? Well, think of the prophet Jeremiah. He preached repentance for 40 years. Where were Jeremiah's blessings? In the simple fact that he died. And through faith in the coming Messiah, he went to heaven. How can 40 years of difficulty compare to an eternity with the Lord in heaven? Maybe the best known example of patience, James cites him too, the man named Job. He lived through the death of all of his 10 children, saw his cattle stolen, his name slandered, boils on his skin, the false accusations of his friends. But in the end, the Lord doubled his goods to give us a visible proof of the value of patience. But more importantly, he showed Job that he knows more than we can comprehend. Even Job became impatient. "Why did I not perish at birth and die as I came from the womb?" he asked. He just wanted to die, but God wouldn't let him die. He had to wait, and after he did, God blessed him tremendously. So what does that show us? It shows us that the Lord is full of compassion. James says that when someone is blessed from patience, it proves in the end that God is full of compassion. Even the punishments, even the difficulties and trials of this life that he sends have a compassionate and merciful purpose to bring blessings to his people. What better examples of patience and compassion can we see by looking at Jesus, at his life, looking at his cross? For 4,000 years, God made plans for the coming of his Son. That's just an estimate. He waited until the time was right. And then when the fullness of time had come, as Paul says, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. In patience and mercy, Jesus preached and he taught, and in patience and in mercy, God has allowed mankind to continue on. Even after putting Jesus to death, Jesus took the punishment for our sins. And now for 2,000 years, Jesus has been waiting and encouraging and giving grace through his word and sacraments to bring every last child of God to faith. He's waiting for just the right moment to take you and me home to be with him, whether that's at our death or whether it's at his return. Can we really appreciate how patient God has been with us? He could have given up on us. As we think back on our youth and think of the sins of our youth, he could have given up on us right then, but he didn't. The Holy Spirit kept on speaking through the word. Jesus kept on feeding us, the needy soul, with his supper. Now we get to play a part in spreading that gospel and raising up the next generation in the fear and admonition of the Lord. What a blessing. Let us pray with James. "Lord, give me patience right now." The Holy Spirit gently whispers to us, "Trust me, all things work together for good to those who love God." If God could turn Job's seemingly fatal and ugly skin disease and the death of his children to good, then he certainly can do the same for you and me. He wants the child to reason. I guess I can keep on studying. Somehow he's going to bless me. God will bless you. God will bless you through patience. God will bless the parent who says, I may not like this disciplining of my children, but I'm sure that God will bless it in some way. And through your patient discipline, God will bless you with obedient children. He wants the spouse to reason. Even though I may not enjoy my marriage right now, I'm sure that if I stick with it, God will reward me in some way. God will bless you. I can't say how. Only he can. But he's committed to it. He wants the Christian to reason. I may not like being persecuted. I may not like suffering for doing what's good. I may not like how people react to me when I tell them the reason for the hope that I have. But when I'm in heaven for eternity, it will have all been worth it. Wouldn't you know, right in the middle of writing this sermon, a telemarketer called me. He droned on and on about an extended warranty for my car. I don't know how God blessed me through that call, but at least I know that God will bless our patience. It's a long-term investment, like a mutual fund, even better. It accumulates over the years, but start investing in it right now, because time is what you need for it to accumulate. In the same way, James says, be patient. And so does the season of Advent. Jesus could come any day, and then through faith in him, we'll be in heaven, reaping the rewards of eternal life. And so we pray, Lord, give me patience right now. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.